Simple orders, Hal. Find the enemy and kill him.
Attack us. No casualties. They're running hide in the mountains. So naturally, we chase them, of course. They smell like an ambush to you.
They get close enough to kill us. We'll be close enough to kill them. Mm.
Round trip by chopper, 30 minutes. That means the first 60 men on the ground will be there a half hour alone. Son of a bitch. I think maybe you ought to get yourself that M16.
Time comes when I need one, sir. There'll be plenty of them lying on the ground.
Everybody, welcome to Uniformed Ops, the live edition on the mix. Noam, Neil, what's up, guys?
How's it going?
Been a little while, hasn't it?
Yeah, a little over a month.
Yeah, about a month and a half, I think.
Since the last one, and certainly wasn't live the last time. So
no, I know. When was the last time we did a live one?
It's been a couple of years, I think.
Yeah, forever.
I was going to say, yeah, I don't think I've ever done a live. Well, yeah.
You did it when, remember when Pete was down here when a couple of months ago, you and I did it, remember?
That wasn't Uniformed. Well, that's right. It was the crossover show.
Right.
But
the only difference between doing it live and doing it on a podcast is that people can listen to the mistakes, but we don't edit the podcast, so what's the difference? They can listen to it as we're recording it.
Theoretically, you could just react in real time.
Right. The question is do we want to think about taking calls? No. So people can just listen to it as the sausage is being made instead of.
I would honestly love to because I mean I know a few people that I don't know if they are people who would listen live, but I'm sure we'd get at least one or two entertaining calls if we ever did if we really did plan for a live show.
They could.
This just kind of came together at the last minute.
Well, hey, this is actually a free hour on the station that I broadcast Radio Foo Bar on. So this time, if this time actually worked for everybody, we could do this every week at this time.
That would be kind of cool.
Noam's the big catch on doing it at this time, but then we'd probably lose Ben. We were talking about this week.
Yeah, that would suck. So I wouldn't really want to do that, but right. I wouldn't want to lose Ben.
This just happened to be the time that worked out for everybody, and I said, screw it, I'm doing my live show from 5 to 8. If you guys don't mind doing it live, we can start at 9 and just keep going. It'll limit us to an hour. That's the good thing, is it'll limit us to an hour, because we have to be done at 10 o'clock Eastern.
I think that's good. I've been doing a couple of other podcasts, and I think that a hard out kind of helps kind of the flow of things. You don't allow yourself to just meander.
Right, and unfortunately, Ben is not here. He's polishing brass.
I wasn't even going to go for a euphemism. I was like, he's banging some broad. he's banging some broad. Doesn't want to do a podcast anymore.
He's out back shining the doorknobs is what he's doing.
You can see yourself in those fuckers.
Anyway, so Noam, what have you guys been up to the last month and a half? I know, Noam, you're working. You're still in D.C., obviously.
Yes, I'm still in D.C. Like you said, working and studying Japanese in my free time, which takes up a lot of time. How about that?
Is that helping with your anime viewing? Are you able to understand all the stuff they're not telling you in the translation?
Surprisingly, yes. Obviously not entirely, but I was just talking to someone about that the other day, about how especially comedy stuff, the more you know the language and the more you kind of understand it, the more context you get for a lot of like gags that are maybe half funny when they're translated.
Right.
But then if you know what's actually going on, all of a sudden you're like, oh, I understand why this is actually way funnier.
Right. When you get the context of the joke, you know, just like Shakespeare loses it in the translation from Klingon.
Yes, exactly.
So I had I went to all you can eat sushi for lunch today.
Ooh.
So where would I be at as far as, you know, understanding some of this stuff goes? Because I ate four sushi rolls for lunch. I just want to put that
I in. Lived in Okinawa for
so
a year.
I'm pretty much a native Japanese speaker now.
I lived in Okinawa for a year and I never once ate sushi, so
Yeah, I'll tell you what, in Boise, Idaho, you can get some damn good sushi.
They sell sushi at Walgreens in Chicago.
Sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah, back in New Jersey you can get it at like places like that.
Yeah, Whole Foods.
No, I mean, yeah. like a restaurant type. They have a restaurant upstairs. Like, you know how back in the day drugstores used to have soda fountains and stuff?
Sure.
This Walgreens in downtown Chicago has a sushi bar attached in it.
Dude, that's awesome. Well, it's going to be an hour before my prescription gets filled.
Might as well go get some sushi. That's exactly what it is.
Go get some lunch. Hell yeah.
Right.
That's cool.
I never had the urge. I don't get what people like about sushi.
It's tasty.
It's just delicious. Yeah.
It's raw fish.
It is. I mean, yes, that's for the uninitiated. It is. Sushi is generally
It's raw fish rolled in seaweed and sometimes rice. That's all it is.
It's pretty much a delivery vessel for like the other stuff that's really, really good about it. Like, I don't mind. Like, I think the fish is good that way. So I like the taste of the fish, but also I'll do the ginger. It comes with like little sliced fresh ginger or sliced ginger, pickled ginger, I believe.
There's only one of anything that smells like fish that I want to eat raw.
So bringing it back around to Ben.
Exactly.
And what he's doing this weekend.
But at least that's still alive.
But yeah, I mean, well, presumably, let's, you know.
You hope at least.
Because he's fucked. He's not have an alibi. Oh, I was doing a podcast that night. We can't even retroactively like edit him in. They're like, oh yeah, no, he was with us. Officer, I don't know what happened to that nice young lady.
Yeah, no, Ben. We may actually end up losing Ben to the show. Because between getting to spend time with his daughter on the weekends and Ben's got a new girlfriend, he's actually got a life.
Yeah, the nerve of that guy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a life. Neil obviously doesn't have a life.
I have no life.
I'm half a life.
Yeah, and that's true. I'm either at work or weightlifting. And at those places, I'm being social with people, especially weightlifting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm either at work or talking to you guys.
Yeah, if I'm not doing one of those two things, you guys are the people I talk to the most.
I'm married, though. I have an excuse.
I got no excuse. I got my dog now. So
yeah, I saw that. What is that thing? It's kind of a pit bull mix?
He's like a pit bull American bulldog mix. He's about 7 years old. I got him from a shelter over in Caldwell, Idaho, and he's just the most awesome dog.
I was going to say, he seems to have taken to you pretty well. Did you take my advice and put the gate on the inside of the door so he couldn't push it through?
You know, the day after that, which was, I'm so glad I bought a $70 super awesome pet gate. The day after that, I just decided to leave the gate down and see how he did, and he was fine in the house.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't even used it since the second escaped attempt. The stupid dog freak out. This
escape attempt. It's not an attempt if he succeeds, dude.
At some point, if the hooker is dead, it's not attempted murder anymore. Right. It's just murder.
It's just murder.
It's a really good point. But yeah, he turns out he's awesome in the house. He doesn't chew stuff. He doesn't piss or shit everywhere. So,
did you name him yet?
his name's Goose. Because he's my wingman.
Oh, for Christ's sake, on a crutch. Goose. Oh, I just hung up on the guys. Son of a... I hit the space bar and you guys went away. You there?
I'm back.
I accidentally put my beer on the keyboard for the... I hit the space bar and you guys went away.
Wow, like, that's weird.
Yeah.
You're like...
I've only had 7 beers in 3 hours. I'm not drunk.
Oh, yeah. No, you should be fine.
Okay, Neil. That's we got to talk about you. So you called him Goose.
That's my shit. Yeah, so his name's Goose. It kind of rhymes with his name that the shelter said he had, which was... His name was Baloose. I don't know what that was supposed to be.
It was probably Baloo after the Jungle Book character.
That's what I was thinking. And he never really answered to it. And then one day I just said, like... I said Goose, and he looked up at me, and I was like...
Okay, there's your name.
Yeah. Your name? I'm like,
hey, it's not any worse than me. We've got 5 cats. The 3 that we bought, the other ones don't count, but the 3 that we bought named were Billy, Wrigley, and Santo. All of them after Cubs stuff. You know, Billy Williams, Ron Santo, and Wrigley Field.
That's not... I like Wrigley. That's a cool name. I thought about naming him something like...
Like Wrigley Spearmint?
Yeah, and then we've got Sammy and Loki and Dina.
I thought about maybe going with, like, Mickey, but everybody out here would be like, oh, like the mouse? I'd be like, no, you assholes, like one of the greatest switch-hitting center fielders of all time.
Oh, no, I thought you were going to go with one of the greatest boxing coaches of all time.
Oh, yeah, you know, I didn't even think of that.
Mickey!
I didn't even think of that. Well, but now the great thing is, because speaking of movies, the great thing is when he starts doing his little, like, howling, whining stuff when he wants to go outside, I look at him and I go, talk to me, Goose. My life is just a series of Top Gun references.
You need to get laid.
Big time.
You need to find your Kelly McGillis is what you need to...
Yeah. I need to find a woman who takes my breath away. Oh, but only if she can drag me away from the shirtless volleyball matches.
Oh, so are you saying you need to find your Val Kilmer? You need to find your Iceman.
I don't have an Iceman rival to really push me in the direction of a Kelly McGillis because I have to up my cocky, arrogant attitude towards life and my career, and then maybe that would help. But right now I don't have that, so that's what I need.
See, I would have been afraid calling your dog Goose because that means your dog has to die before you reach your final goal in life.
Yeah, I feel that. But I feel like if one of us has to sacrifice, it should be him.
Are you going to throw his testicles off the end of a aircraft carrier when he dies?
You know what? Somebody already did that because he was in the shelter.
Oh, okay. That's what you need to get him is some dog tags that say Goose.
So there's... That's brilliant.
I mean, actual dog tags. You know. At
lifting, like, what do they do with the testicles after they neuter a dog?
They make sushi out of them.
I said, you know those 3-gallon jars of cheese balls at Walmart?
Pickles, they come from they're pickles, pickled pig's feet.
Yeah, I said they do. They render them down. You know all that organic.
Yeah, those jars of crap that you see in the bar at 2 o'clock.
Super paleo coconut oil. It's they're rendered down into that.
They make them into hot dogs.
That's exactly where hot dogs come from.
Oh.
Surgery on him, and they took his nuts, but they left, like, a deflated balloon hanging there. Which I don't
understand. They have nudicles you can get to fill the empty space.
So I can make it look like he's, like, super stud dog, but
yeah. Yeah, they have, they're called nudicles.
I don't know if that's interesting or if I'm horrified right now.
I thought it was a pretty good idea because, I mean, a dog, it's not like a dog doesn't walk around with them swinging there saying, hey, look at what I got, baby.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I can take him to like the park and be like, yo, go show that girl your nuts. Like, get her to come over here.
I'd be that asshole trying to say, hey, doc, put a third one in there just to really freak out the ladies when I... So, Noam, you've been busy here the last few... Every time we've tried to do a show for, like, the last 2 months, Noam's just like, I'm busy. And that... Yeah. We never get... See, Ben, when Ben says that he's busy, Ben says, I've got a date, or I'm hanging with the daughter, or I'm doing a race, or whatever. When Neil says he's busy, he's like, I'm weightlifting, or I got something like this going on. Me, I'm usually at work. Noam just says, I'm busy, and we accept that answer.
We just don't even... I always feel like we're bothering Noam.
Right.
What? I'm always available. I mean, I'm more than anyone. I'm always like, I'll try to do this weekend.
I know, but it always just...
I know, but on the weeks where you can't do it, it's just like, I can't do it. And we're for some reason, we're all like, okay, we're cool like that. Okay, we all agree that Noam's a spy and we can't talk about it.
It's nothing. The problem is it's nothing exciting or interesting. It's always like, I got to do laundry and
I know, but the thing in our head, we sure think Noam's from Israel, so he must be like Mossad. Yes. He's on some covert operation this weekend and can't do the show.
Like, yeah. I was trying to come up with something the CIA would do and where Noam would be at doing that, but...
Oh.
He's just probably doing executive security at a Bilderberg meeting. I think that was pretty good.
What's going on in the last 6 weeks? Anything interesting?
Oh, nah.
Nah.
Apparently, they're still holding that election this year. I guess we're still doing that. Which I know. I almost want to talk about Colin Kaepernick more than I want to talk about the election.
Okay, let's get the election out of the way, because nothing in the last 6 weeks has changed my mind in not voting for any of these assholes.
No.
Situation normal, all fucked up.
Yes.
It just it's just sad that the more of this horrible stuff that comes out about Hillary, you're just like, if only the Republicans were running someone marginally better. Okay. Right. This would have been so much fun to be like, just to pound that shit, you know?
You know, Ted Cruz is sitting in his house right now going, I told you.
I think that entire field, except for like Ben Carson, is doing that right now. Like the whole,
I think even thing. Ben Carson probably got it.
You know what? Like, well, Carson is like on.
Carly Fiorina could have probably.
Oh yeah. Now, how did Carly Fiorina not end up running with Wilford Brimley?
Because he had the diabetes.
Oh, good point. Not a good candidate.
Right.
Fair enough. But like, I think at this point they're all just sitting back like, this is so stupid. Any at this point, I sincerely believe
there is a distinct lack of advertising. Have you noticed that? It's like they're all usually you've already got them by now. Just saying.
Trump's not spending much money.
No, well, neither is Hillary.
And well, I think she realizes that she doesn't have to.
Well, neither does he, because the media is doing all the work. We're just going to get a final 2 week push, basically. Have you heard anything about them doing a debate? I know they supposedly agreed to one.
I think that that's the last I had known about it, was they agreed to do one.
Well, there's one coming up, the one with Matt Lauer, and he's a Clinton guy. So I think Trump's already posturing to sort of spin his inevitable trouncing by being like, well, the moderator was a fan of Hillary's.
Let's see. This is from AL.com. Let's see. The Commission on Predators released the first is September 26th at New York's Hofstra University.
Yeah. That's the one.
Lester Holt. Let's see. New York's will be moderated by Lester Holt, CNN's Anderson Cooper, and Martha Raddatz, Chief Global Affairs Correspondent and co-anchor of ABC's This Week, will moderate the second debate set in for October 9th. Chris Wallace will moderate the third debate. It's planned for October 19th at the University of Nevada in Las Vegas. Elaine, I don't know how to pronounce this, Quijano, Q-U-I-J-A-N-O, anchor for CBSN and a correspondent for CBS News, will moderate the vice presidential of the debate, planned for October 4th at Longwood University in Farmville, Virginia. Stephen Scully, senior executive producer, White House and political editor for C-SPAN Networks, will be the backup moderator for all debates. That was as of yesterday.
Yeah, that was like yesterday, the day before.
Who the hell is Lester Holt?
Isn't he the college football guy?
Yeah. No, that's Lou Holtz.
But he was the guy
I think he's dead.
Rolling Stone magazine.
Lester Holt.
He's supposedly the night guy for, what they say, NBC.
Yeah, I know him. I gotta
get up for a second. So if you guys want to talk about this, because I don't know anything, I'll be back in a minute.
Oh yeah, I think he's an NBC guy.
Yeah, like I recognize
that makes sense, because if it's the Matt Lauer debate. Matt Lauer. I don't know why I keep saying it that way. That's got to be a joke from something else, and I'm using it for Matt Lauer. he's an NBC. Lester Holt. I recognize the name now. Ringing a bell. Also, I'm drinking mead, and it is fan-fugu-tastic.
Ooh, mead. I've become
like a podcasting Viking right now.
I recently discovered the joys of drinking Madeira, which is like...
Oh, yeah. We were talking about that the other day on Twitter.
Yes, because I have a friend who's into American history and stuff, and I brought him to a party of his because it's the founding fathers were big fans of Madeira, Jefferson loved it, and Washington.
That's how I ended up learning to drink it, was because of Revolutionary War reenacting.
Yeah, because the Declaration of Independence was toasted with Madeira. They loved it because it traveled well, came from Portugal, and it's it essentially stays good forever, in a barrel. Awesome. So I brought some and had some, and it's really great, and it's pretty inexpensive. They even have some domestic stuff that's $6 a bottle or something like that. I mean, it's really not expensive. The stuff I get from Portugal, the original is $15 or $20. You could get top shelf stuff for $100 a bottle.
Wait. I was literally gone for 2 minutes.
Yeah,
and we were talking about the debates.
Oh, we were just because Neil was I'm drinking mead, and then I was I recently started drinking Madeira.
Neil, we got some mead here a couple weeks ago, wildflower honey mead.
That's the kind I got right now too.
That may actually be from the place right down the street here. They make it in the next town over from here. Is it in a blue bottle with a girl stop?
No, this one's in a, it's a brown bottle with, this one's definitely from, this one's right here from over in Oregon.
Oh, okay.
The one that I got. And it's pretty darn good.
Okay, I'm just drinking Miller Lite. I'm cheap.
Oh, no, no, no.
Unfortunately, this shit was $13 a bottle.
Yeah.
It was expensive. And it tasted basically wine. But with a honey note instead of grape.
Some are a lot sweeter than others. And
no, this stuff was harsh, and I don't like wine in the first place. I never have, so I was out. But Matt and Pete loved it.
Oh, that's good.
But $13 basically a bottle. It's like a 20-ounce bottle for $13.
How big was it?
Like 20 ounces.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
No.
Obviously.
But they loved it. So, I'm like, hey.
A pint of
they bought it, so I'm like, all right, go ahead. I had one sip to say, okay, it's not horrible, but I wouldn't drink it here. You can have the rest of it.
There you go.
So, I mean, if that tells you what I thought of it here, you can have the rest of it. How often does a Marine pass up alcohol?
Alcohol? Not very.
Right.
That would be a good answer.
I don't know. I figured, you know, from all the medievals from playing D&D for a year and a day, you would figure I would like mead.
Yeah.
It's basically like they took honey and said, okay, let's make wine out of this.
I mean, pretty much. That's sort of what mead is.
I know. But I always had it pictured in my head that it was more of a honey beer and not a honey wine.
Yeah.
And I think that's what threw me off, you know.
Definitely more wine. I just love that, you know, our ancestors were out there, like, just leaving shit out to go bad and then finding out they could get fucked up on it.
I can drink this and it makes me feel happy. I feel happy.
I feel fine.
I think I'll go for a walk.
That's the second Monty Python reference that I've heard today. That makes me very happy.
Hey, well, somebody else figured out that if you take bread and leave it all day and then inhale it, you won't die from the Black Plague.
Yeah.
Yeah, somehow we figured mold would not kill us. I don't really want
to know how certain kinds of mold grown on certain bread. Somebody had to figure that out, too. Don't sniff the mold on this type of bread. Only from this type of bread.
Sniff it from this bread and only this mold, not that, not the green mold. You need the black spory mold. That one will fix you. It literally was not science back then. It was just trial and error.
Yeah, it was here. It was also here, sniff this. Oh, he died. Oh, okay, don't do that again.
Crap! We need another one.
Sorry, President Lincoln, we won't dig that bullet out of the next president that gets shot.
But you know what? You learn. Failure is how you learn.
Right. Failure is absolutely an option.
Yeah, no, it's all failure is always an option. How are we going to get out of this? Is failure an option? No! I remember if that's The Simpsons or Family Guy.
They're Mythbusters.
I think it's Family Guy.
No, it's Mythbusters.
Oh, well, that too. But there's an episode where they're trapped up in space and they're trying to figure out how they're going to get back, and one of them says, is failure an option? Which I guess was an Apollo 13 reference. It's been a while since I've seen.
So what's going on in the military conflict here? Turkey is apparently beefing up their presence in Syria now.
Well, and Russia too, and China, and
right.
That whole thing is a complete shit show.
Have we gotten a coup update on Turkey or not? You know, like, is anything?
I mean, there's just a big purge going on. You know, like, it's. I called it the Reichstag fire, and then somebody said to me, "Oh, you're being conspiratorial or whatever." And I said, "That's actually, it's a bit of a misconception to think that calling something a Reichstag fire means that it's a, because there is actually no proof that Hitler himself was behind the Reichstag fire. However, it's largely accepted that he used it as an excuse to do like large scale blanket purges and stuff. And also, there's different levels of new, because, you know, like, there was that whole thing about 9/11 about some people think, like, well, Bush actually did it, you know, whatever. And there's some other people who say, like, well, we were following the plot and we kept putting off stopping it to see what they would do, and then somehow something got slipped by or whatever.
Right. So, like, now hold on. Now wait a minute. A couple of years ago on this very show, I believe you, me, and Ben all praised King or Prince, whatever his name is, basically saying he's a badass and we need to be friends with him.
Wait, who? What?
The whoever's in charge of Turkey.
No, Erdogan? There's no way I said that.
That might have been before you showed up.
Not Erdogan. It was probably the guy before him, thing, right?
No, it might actually be the guy that's in line. Maybe it's his son or something. I don't know.
But,
No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the dude that's in charge of Jordan, not Turkey.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He's
forget Donald. It. Forget what I said.
Yeah. So like I said, and there was that whole story about how they had him in their crosshairs and then they didn't shoot him down even though they could. So there was this whole question of whether or not they knew something was coming, and then instead of stopping it, they decided to let it go through a little and then nip it at the bud and then say well, there was a coup, so now we have to, fire all these teachers and put all these judges in prison or whatever, even though seemingly that had nothing to do with it.
Hey, it makes sense to me. If you're going to be a grand despot, let the coup go through that has no chance of survival, and you can figure out every single person that has any kind of...
Yeah, it's a little bit almost like a honey trap,
Right.
And that was that story about how his plane was in their crosshairs and then at the last minute they didn't fire. That to me sounded like that was the moment that the trap was sprung, where the generals were like, okay, shoot him down. And then the pilot's like, I'm sorry, sir, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I've actually been a double agent this whole time, you know? That would be a good Tom Clancy thing,
Wow, General, I had 4 simultaneous air-to-air missile malfunctions. Sorry.
Yes. What are the odds?
I don't know what's going on there. And like you said, Syria, just a complete shit show. And I don't know what'll happen. There's not even the signs of anything,
We haven't even been talking about ISIS recently.
I don't know who you mean when you say we, because there is a lot of that.
We as in the collective mainstream media.
Well, didn't you see what John Kerry was saying? The media reports too much on terrorism, and the best way to deal with it is to not report on it.
Oh.
Isn't that the old, but isn't that
oh,
the
so
old,
we're going with the serial, so, okay, so we're going to go with yeah, the serial killer excuse.
Serial killer mass shooter philosophy, yes. Right. Don't publish the names, don't give them the attention, that's how you get copy killing. So, basically,
which, the Islamic State is... I guess would make sense for serial killers, because they're usually doing it for the glory. ISIS, I don't think they're doing it to get their name in the paper so much as...
Here, he said, here it is. I'm trying
John
to find
Kerry's a putz anyway, but...
Quote here. Remember this, no country is immune from terrorism, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Perhaps the media would do us all a service if they didn't cover it quite as much. People wouldn't know what's going on.
Say that last sentence again.
Yes. Perhaps the media would do us all a service if they didn't cover it quite as much, period. People wouldn't know what's going on, period. Applause. That's because he got applause for
that. Oh, I was just I guarantee you he said applause.
Because, yeah. Jeb Bush.
No, there was somebody in
his training camp.
Yeah, no, there was somebody in front with a big applause sign, like in the Jack Benny era with the thing saying, applause here,
No, John Kerry's stupid.
Yeah.
Really fucking stupid.
And the ISIS thing is the problem is that it's moving away from large scale. Although, look, moving away. This just happened. Just this year, we had major attacks. The Nice attack, 80 people died, and
Bataclan, the Nice attack, that was the one with the truck driver that went through.
This year there have been multiple large scale attacks in Europe, but on the day to day level, it's moving away from that. And towards,
it's because they're not happening here, so they only make news every 2 or 3 days.
There's also a lot of lower level, stabbing here, stabbing there. You don't even see, I'm super into this. Also, it's part of my job or whatever. So, I see, And there's so much stuff that is it doesn't.
I told
even
you,
get
he's a Mossad
at all.
See,
say yes. Somebody gets stabbed and injured here, there, Copenhagen, Düsseldorf, and fucking London. But because it's a very small scale, and then they'll say like, "Oh, it was some guy, and he liked ISIS, but he was also, you know, disturbed."
Right.
And I see this a lot. There's this weird intersection now because I mean, look, let's face it. Obviously, the kind of people that are attracted to become like ISIS lone wolves or whatever, they're not super emotionally stable. And I see this a lot. Just people who are aimless and sort of discover Islam maybe in prison or maybe in like some other like really rough phase of their life.
Right.
They kind of become enamored with this idea of holy death and yes, a lot of them are mentally unstable. Duh. Mentally stable people do not go around, you know, beheading people on the streets. That's not, but because people say like, well, it's just people who are mentally disturbed. This isn't about religion or whatever, but that's not true because the problem with ISIS and the way to combat it is you got to go and you got to nip the sort of propaganda in its bud. So it's more about like you have to target what they're saying and who they're trying to recruit. So it does become important. That's why I hate that people say like this has nothing to do with Islam, because look, even if that's true, they're still using Muslim.
Look, it's not any different than when radical Christians use the Bible to justify their means. The ISIS is using Islam as a justification for their means. You know, they'll look at one scripture in the Quran and say, look, this says we can go out and kill.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So they're using Islamic justifications. They're recruiting inside Islamic communities using Islamic rhetoric and terminology, and that's their target audience. So whether or not that's the real Islam or not is actually irrelevant. Because if their thing was like, I don't know, aliens are coming, we're going to try to recruit, you know, people who believe in UFOs to go and
and meet behind the asteroid.
Yeah, I'm saying if something like that happened and if was successful enough to create like this sort of global wave of it, then you would target like UFO enthusiast communities, because that's where they would be trying to find these people. Like that's important. It's important to understand, and I think the politics of it is really getting in the way. And unfortunately now, because look, I don't think Trump is half the things that people say about him. However, he does attract certain elements because I think that he feels comfortable not being like morally judgmental, because he's like a, you know, accepts all comers, you know, beggars can't be choosers. So if the alt-right and people who are like legitimately awful racists want to support him, he's totally cool with that. Whereas other politicians would be like, I don't want these people support, even at the price of like publicly saying, stay away from me. Trump is way more comfortable saying like, look, they like me. Cool. What do I give a shit?
Yeah, their vote counts just as much as yours does.
Right. Exactly. And the problem is that those kinds of people also shit up the dialogue.
Exactly.
By combating.
Because it becomes about them.
Islam has nothing to do with this. And then on the other side, you have people like that who say, like, all Muslims are evil. Let's kick every Muslim out of here and fuck Muslims, even if they're in the army. And even if they died in Iraq and their parents are whatever, fuck them because they're Muslims. That's really bad. That doesn't help at all.
Yeah.
Like, that really doesn't do.
Well, you can say the same thing about every religion. Hell, you know, fuck the Jews. You know what Hitler would say? I don't care if you're a Jew or a half Jew or a quarter Jew. You know, fuck the Jew.
It's important to have one side not feed that, you know, feed that loop together with the other side. Like, one side go like, this has nothing to do with Islam. If the other side says, look, I understand your point, but we're trying to stop something that emerges almost exclusively from within Muslim communities. Right. So for us to combat that, we have to focus on Muslim communities.
Right.
It won't work if I go to Hasidic Jewish neighborhoods to try and find ISIS recruits. That's not going to help. But if a bunch of Jews were going around and screaming Shema Yisrael and stabbing people on the street, then that's where you would have to go find.
You're probably going to need to explain what Shema Yisrael is.
It's almost like the Jewish Allahu Akbar. It doesn't mean the same thing, but it's like an exclamation of faith. That means like heareth Israel or whatever. And it's a thing. It's something that's one of the most important prayers in Judaism, which is the prayer of, like the prayer you deliver at a funeral starts with that. It's like the Kaddish, which is the prayer that you say over a dead person. Okay. But yeah, it's like it's in the Bible a lot. The Lament of David has the phrase in it, or whatever. It's boring. But anyway, my point was like, if a bunch of Hasidic Jews were going around murdering people willy nilly, like using Jewish terminology and being recruited by some kind of shadowy group of extremist Jews, then that's, you would have to go to synagogues. You would have to go to like Jewish schools and to Jewish neighborhoods. That's just how that shit works. Like when the FBI was fighting the mob, then they would go to Italian neighborhoods and they would stake out, you know, Italian restaurants and shit. That's
profiling, man.
But that's the thing. For some reason, profiling became a pejorative in its own, where actually it's just a tactic.
Of course it is.
Profiling.
That's the reason why everybody loves flying on fucking, what's the Jewish airline?
El Al.
They've been doing that shit for 30 fucking years.
Well, and they don't racial. That's the thing, is they don't racially profile.
No, but they profile based on
many things, like your ticket. There's a whole, I mean, it's a whole training thing. But the thing is, profiling became a truncated way of saying like
racist.
Unnecessary racial profiling. That's what people are angry at when they say, because if a bunch of women get raped, okay, and the thing that they have in common is that their toilets were all broken, then your profile is a plumber, for instance. Right. Like that's, you're profiling plumbers, but that's police work.
Right.
It's fucking like you're building a profile of who, like what, you know, like what kind of person your killer is. And if, you know, and if a bunch of people heard Allahu Akbar and saw somebody who was dressed, you know, in Muslim garb, then you're one of your angles of inquiry has to be that he's a Muslim.
That's not, you would think. Literally called The Profiler or something like that.
Yeah, was
like
Profiler. A crime show. It was a good show. It was like, back in like the late 90s.
I never watched it, back before
profiling became a, like Neil said, a pejorative.
It was like a weird, it was almost,
you're just racist, man. You're only dealing with Muslims and you just want to keep the brown people down, man.
Yeah.
Look,
it was a good show. It tried to be X-Files meets Silence of the Lambs, because it was about this woman profiler and there was a serial killer called Jack of All Trades who was like obsessed with her, and kind of like the entire show was her chasing this guy, Jack of All Trades. It was a pretty good.
Let me ask you guys a stupid question.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. And this is because I'm half drunk is the only reason I'm asking this.
Okay.
Have you ever watched like 8 hours of like crime drama and then caught yourself thinking they're giving me a what not to do? If I ever wanted to commit the perfect crime, I could just watch all 15 years of Law and Order.
I've always wondered about that. Yeah, like if you put enough of it together, you could figure out exactly how to get away with it. Right.
I mean, yes and no, because, you know,
I mean, not that I've ever actually planned it out, but I've just had that thought watching it, saying I could watch this entire, the entire run of this show and figure out how to, like,
well, the thing
not
is,
do all the stuff that they're catching stupid people
like
on.
That. We've had shows like that on for so long, and I do not think there was a noticeable increase in the amount of like unsolved crime.
Well, no, I don't think that because the cops don't get the cops really only catch the stupid ones. But I mean, me as a
would watch enough of that and be like, well, I'm not going to try that. It's on TV. That's the first thing they're going to look for.
I also think most, homicides.
I'm not saying that I would actually try it, but I've just had that thought, like in passing, saying, they're basically giving me the playbook.
I mean, sure.
I'm not saying I would do it, but I understand.
But I understand.
Yeah, thanks for.
But
so you're saying if I wear a full body condom?
Yeah, I mean, basically, and like, but
that just made me think of Leslie Nielsen and Priscilla Presley in The Naked Gun, and I just started getting really, started to chuckle to myself at that.
Do what?
And speaking of getting away with murder, Naked Gun, O.J. Simpson.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the irony.
Nice segue.
What's going on with OJ now?
No, I mean nothing. He's in prison, but I'm saying, like, because he was talking about how, you know, you make the perfect murder or whatever, and he didn't do that at all, and yet he still
got away with it.
You know, I watched the ESPN 30 for 30, like the June 17th or whatever 1994 one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Rangers won the Stanley Cup, the Knicks were in the finals, and then OJ happened.
Yeah.
And it was Arnold Palmer's last, which I didn't realize, was Arnold Palmer's last senior, like, U.S. Open.
Right.
With, like, regular, before he became, like, a Masters.
Did you watch the show, the FX show, The People versus OJ Simpson?
No. You guys want to know something? Hold on. You guys want to know something even funnier than all the shit you're talking about watching on TV? I got to live that shit live. I was stationed in Orange County when all that OJ shit was going on. You remember the white Bronco chase?
Mm-hmm.
That went right past El Toro. And we're watching that shit on the news at lunch, watching it happen live. And we're like, dude, we're like 3 miles from there. So a bunch of us jumped in the car and we went up on the on-ramp. And we're one of them. There's like 20 of us that jumped in a couple of cars. And we went up on the off-ramp and just waved at him going by, going, you dumbass, just pull over. It went right past us on the interstate.
It was way crazy.
And when they were talking about on the news saying the 30-mile-an-hour white Bronco chase, they weren't kidding. They literally chased him for like an hour and a half. He's going 30 miles an hour on 405. Sure.
But that show is really worth watching. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, especially like the cast. You know, like it was like they cast a bunch of people who are just perfect.
Oh,
especially the guy who plays Cochran and.
You want to talk about something actually military-related here for a minute before we have to go? Because we've managed to go 48 minutes and not talk about a lot. Germany is actually in the throes of a F-22 controversy. F-22? You know how shitty the F-22 is.
I mean, there's a whole...
Or the F-35, more than anyone.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. The F-35 is...
I was going to say, is it F-22 or F-35
right.
Controversy?
Germany military...
I know the F-22 is not great,
right.
Apparently.
This is from Germany. The German military just lost a battle with Heckler and Koch.
Or Koch.
However you want to pronounce it. A German court has
ruled... Koch, actually.
Koch.
Yeah, if you want to be all fucking literal about it.
Heckler and Koch.
Cock.
Heckler and Koch, yeah.
That cock. Heckler and
cock. Da cock. That cock.
A German court has ruled that the military does not deserve compensation for what the defense ministry deemed faulty rifles. The defense ministry did not make its specifications for the weapons clear enough. Gun manufacturer Heckler...
The Germans weren't specific enough about engineering?
I know.
What fucking bizarro story is this?
Gun manufacturers Heckler and Koch.
Hack.
Well, they must have a big one because they just won. Scored a legal victory against the defense ministry on Friday when a court ruled that they were not liable for damages over faulty assault rifles. Berlin had argued that the company's G36 rifle was unable to shoot straight in hot weather or when it became overheated from constant firing.
Oops.
That's not good.
The court in the city of Koblenz rejected the government's call for the army to be compensated for the 3,845 rifles it ordered in two contracts dating back to 2013. The court ruled that the, I'm just going to call it the H&K, had not reneged on what was promised in the agreement and that the military had failed to list its demands for the weapons to the gun manufacturer. H&K is based in southwestern Germany, had been producing the G36 for around two decades, in which time it's become standard issue for a number of militaries around the world. The German military, the Bundeswehr.
Mm-hmm. Bundeswehr.
Yeah. I took a year of German in high school, believe it or not, has used the gun consistently since 1997. The G36 rifle costs militaries about $1,120 each. But beginning in 2012, reports out of Afghanistan emerged alleging that the weapon became less accurate during periods of continuous rapid shooting.
I mean,
no shit.
Because it buck, yeah, it bucks.
Every weapon becomes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's like margins, you know.
Right. The Bundeswehr at first blamed faulty ammunition, but a 2015 study by the Fraunhofer Institute for High Speed Dynamics.
Everything in Germany sounds like a brewery.
Right. Revealed that the.
What are you drinking? Oh, I'm drinking a Bundeswehr.
Yes, exactly. Everything sounds like a fucking lager.
Ah, Günther Wendt.
But it's have you tried the Kriegsmarine? It's delicious. dude, you've got to try a Panzerfaust. They have it on draft here.
No, no, no. You got to try this Unterseebuffen.
See, everything sounds like a fucking.
But beginning in 2012, reports out of Afghanistan emerged alleging that the weapons became less accurate during periods of continuous rapid shooting. The Bundeswehr at first blamed faulty ammunition, but a 2015 study by the Fraunhofer Institute for High Speed Dynamics. That sounds like something that would be on, like, Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein or something like that. You know, the Fraunhofer Institute for High Speed Dynamics.
I was just going to say, I couldn't even remember.
Fraunhofer?
Yeah.
Never.
Revealed that the observed...
The Frau Blücher Institute of...
Right. Revealed that the observed hit rate at a distance of 100 meters drops to just 7% in temperatures above 30 degrees Celsius or 86 degrees Fahrenheit. The Bundeswehr also called for 90% accuracy, or had called for 90% accuracy under these conditions. In light of this news, Defense Minister Ursula von der Leyen, ordered the G36 in its current form to be phased out by using it. Anyway. So, yeah, like Noam said, I don't know who said it. The Germans weren't specific on their engineering.
I find that fascinating.
That was probably right around the same time the Volkswagen was lying to us about their emission standards.
Oh yeah.
Oh shit. Yeah. So I mean, sweeping manufacturing fraud here in Germany, apparently.
Yeah.
All I can think now is that I want to brew a German style lager that you can only buy in cans and call it Stielhandgranate. Right.
You're gonna have to explain for our less traveled.
Stielhandgranate is the German word for hand grenade. Which I think it would just be cool to have a beer that comes in a can called hand grenade. and because
get arrested
German
for that
word, every German military word
would be offensive.
You know what? That is true. It wouldn't work over here. I bet it'd sell in Australia.
That'd be even better if you could put the pull tab on the side somehow.
Yes, exactly. I wonder if you could do it where, like, and if it came on, like, the end of a long stick.
Right.
So it looked like the World War II potato masher grenade. That would be pretty fucking, that'd be pretty good. That's funny. This whole thing ended up throwing me on the, like, German military Wikipedia page. I didn't realize that, like, Bundeswehr meant, like, federal defense, basically.
Yeah, Bund is, like, federation. Like, everything is the Bundestag, the Bundesliga in Germany. Everything is, like, the federal, and then, like, whatever.
And then, like, the here, like, the here is, the H-E-E-R is the army.
Right.
Here, yeah.
Yeah, Luftwaffe,
yeah.
Marine, and holy shit. Streitkraftbasis, joint support surface.
Yeah, they've got some weird. Yeah, anyway.
And the Zentraler Sanitätsdienst. It's the fucking medical service branch. Like joint medical. God damn, Germany, square your shit away. Also, the G36 is ugly as fuck. I don't know if you've seen a picture of it. That's not a good-looking rifle at all. It's not sexy.
It doesn't matter what it looks like. It just matters if it shoots straight. And that's the problem.
I know,
and that's the biggest problem with it is not only... Exactly. That's the problem with it is not only is it an ugly rifle, it doesn't shoot straight.
So that's... But there's the thing, because your first rule of warfare is the mission always comes first. The second rule is if you can't accomplish the mission, look cool doing it.
Exactly.
So if your rifle's ugly and it doesn't shoot straight, that's it. You're out. You're done.
Yeah,
so
you're cannon fodder at that point.
Pay up, you heckler and cocksuckers.
Oh. No, but the German court said, nope. You didn't tell us you needed the rifle to actually shoot straight.
I wonder if they had those. I wonder if they tried the case at Nuremberg.
Probably.
I don't know. They might have.
I think the people that were tried at Nuremberg had a higher hit rate.
Well, I wonder what would have happened if at Nuremberg they had a hung jury.
That made no sense whatsoever.
Because all the guys, all the Nazis that were tried were hanged for their crimes. Hey, so it's about 7:59. I think we got to get out of here. 7:59.
Yeah, I think so. Let's get out. Neil just killed the show. Hey, speaking of which, though, if it's okay with Neil and Noam, if you like the live format at 9 o'clock at night, let us know, and maybe we'll keep trying to do it. Other than that, we're out of here. Got to get out of here for the next show. Have a good night, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Thanks a lot, guys.